proposed bylaw that would limit protests around places of worship, schools, and city property will be considered at council this week. The way the bill would work in practice is like this. Any owners of a building considered social infrastructure would be able to apply for an 80-day protest ban that could be synagogues, mosques, daycare centers, schools, but city staff say it would not prohibit peaceful gatherings, activities like labor-related disputes, labor strikes, or information pickets. The ban would cover an area of 20 meters from that institution's entrance. Bylaw officers could then fine violators as much as $5,000. The 180-day ban would also have the option of renewal. QP Local 79 is the union that represents nearly 30,000 of the city's workers. Approximately 230 of them are bylaw enforcement officers. The union's president, Nas Yadolahi, says municipal bylaw officers do not have the skill set to take on this kind of responsibility. In a statement this week, the union made clear that this isn't part of their job description. Yadolahi says her primary concern is the safety of these workers. She says putting municipal licensing and standard officers on the front lines could be dangerous.
I really want to emphasize that this bylaw would require municipal licensing and standard officers who are Local 79 members to execute the work of this bylaw. The director of the division has stated multiple times that MLNS workers are not properly trained or equipped to execute this work. Whereas TPS has reiterated over and over again that they have the tools, the resources, and the training necessary to deal with situations that can become unruly.
Yadolahi says the proposed bylaw violates the provincial legislation that prioritizes safety in the workplace. With this on the line, Yadolahi says the union is prepared to take legal action should the bylaw pass.
When we are talking about workers who are not trained or equipped to carry out work that could put them in harm's way, we are also violating the Occupational Health and Safety Act. So that's one aspect, one way we would take action. And the other one is an infringement on our constitutional right of freedom of assembly.
More than a year in the making, the legislation's been pushed by Councillor James Pasternak, Diane Saxon, and Brad Bradford a number of times now. Media relations and issues management Russell Baker says this builds on an existing city bylaw to protect these spaces and their visitors from blocked entrances. The original motion was narrowly defeated in a vote last May, but with no resolution. The proposed bylaw has become a reoccurring debate at City Hall. Councillor Bradford says Torontonians should have the same protections in place as in Vaughan, Brampton, and Calgary, where similar legislation has been put into effect.
Colleagues, I'd ask us not to delay or dither on this anymore. Since that motion in May, our residents have faced 7 more months of hate and intimidation. When we're trying to differentiate between a hate incident or a hate crime, failing to recognize that these things are difficult and take a long time to work through the courts, almost suggesting that, well, that's just a hate incident, man. Grow up. Relax. Just a hate incident. I'd like to remind all of us that when it comes to community safety, it's never too late to do the right thing.
Calgary restricts protests within 100 meters of city-owned recreation facilities or libraries. This came after many protests targeting queer events in these spaces. And in Vaughan, demonstrations must take place 100 meters away from, quote, vulnerable social infrastructure, unquote, such as places of worship, which the Toronto proposed bylaw covers. Though, according to the city manager's report that came out last week, the bubble zones in Toronto would be temporary and much smaller than other cities. This, however, has not turned the temperature down. Critics have cautioned the proposal could still have devastating impacts on our democracy, infringing on people's rights for free expression under the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms. President Nas Yadolahi told our station the union's position is that any attempt to limit free speech is unjust. Toronto's Union of Public Employees is the city's largest working union. Here's more of our conversation last week. Should municipalities have the authority to limit speech in this way? What do you think of all this?
Well, our position is that any version of this bylaw is unjustified, it's unconstitutional, and frankly, it's unnecessary. The right to peacefully assemble and protest is a fundamental right, and it's by the Canadian Charter of Rights and Freedoms. And any act of violence, threats, or harassment are already illegal, and they are properly addressed and managed by Toronto Police Services. So we see this as imposing something, a bylaw, without any compelling, clear evidence. And we think it's a dangerous thing to be doing that would be infringing on people's chartered rights.
While some groups think the bill is unconstitutional, others supporting the bill, like the Alliance of Canadians Combating Antisemitism, argue that the drafted legislation is not strong enough. The Alliance says the problem with it is that access zones can only be closed off after a vulnerable institution's been the target of a violent or unsafe attempt to enter that institution. Advocates who have been pushing for the bylaw say there's more to be done and the legislation could use stronger language. Ariella Kimmel runs a center-right advocacy group, A Better City Toronto, where public safety's been front of mind. Kimmel thinks the city is just creating more red tape around this after looking at the city manager's reports. Kimmel says protests happen often with little notice, a speed City Hall wouldn't be able to keep up with. She's also concerned about social infrastructure that's multi-use, for example, buildings like Miles Nadal Community Center that operate both as a synagogue and a daycare. She finds the language used in the city's bylaw draft to be able to pinpoint this vague and confusing.
So it does feel, honestly, in some ways that it's being developed to be like, oh, well, we did it, but it's not going to be practical and not going to be realistic.
You think the city could do more on this when they're putting it forward? There could be more, you're saying you're concerned about the wait time.
I'm concerned about the fact that that it's not just automatic, that people have to apply for it, right? They don't always know when a protest is going to happen. And there's other issues in it. It's because it's the primary use. If it's an event at a mosque or a synagogue or something like that, the people are using the space, but it's not a prayer service, does that mean that it's not protected because it's not their regular use? So there's just a lot of questions and blurry lines that I feel were done quite purposefully. I did do the online consultation, and you could see the questions had a particular bias and leaning.
What way do you feel they were leaning?
I think they were leaning towards saying that most people don't want this or that it's not necessary, so that they could do the least possible.
Toronto City Council will vote on whether or not the drafted legislation will make it to law this week. City Councillor Alejandro Bravo says she's anticipating a charged debate and says the proposal is unusual. The councillor says it hinders on issues that are not typically considered by municipal governments. Head of Media Relations for the city, Russell Baker, says the proposed amendment reflects the city's dedication to keeping Toronto safe from hate. One point many organizations pro this legislation echo at this time. The amendment would come into effect on July 2nd if approved by council. This story is still developing. With this on the council's agenda, there will be more to come this week. This piece was written and produced by myself. As always, our theme music is by Robert Johnston, and additional music is courtesy of Audio Hero. I'm Mia Johnson, your local journalist, bringing you some news you should care about from a hyper-localized perspective. I'm with the Local Journalism Initiative. You can hear more from me on Fridays and Saturdays at 5:30 p.m. or at frequencynews.ca to keep up with what's going on in the city. You're listening to Met Radio 1280 AM CJTM, broadcasting from Toronto Metropolitan's University Campus and Community Radio Station in downtown Toronto.